Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Special thanks to Tad and Fernando stopping in. What an amazing event they just went through. Endure just finished 24 hours of extreme workouts. 24 hours straight.
Test both incredible. Physical and the mind. I thought that was really interesting what Fernando said about testing his...
The mind?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's... Something we will never do.
No,
you're right. But something we can do. Well, we're too old for this too.
We'll test our minds on like Sudoku or whatever.
Right, that game. Right, yeah. Chess is very stressful. Yeah. A lot of people who are listening, I'm sure, have used Ashland Avenue, and there's construction used to be. I think everybody went to the Holiday Inn there, and that's why everybody knows it. So, what are they building? It's something this community needs, and I think it's pretty awesome. So we have Jamie. Is it Hagenau?
Hagenau.
All right. I'm right. And of course, Dr. Sherry Hoyman, who's a pediatric physician. And we're talking about the Bell and Health, the new facility on Ashland Avenue, which what is that? What's the name of it going to be? Just Bell and Health Pediatrics?
Yeah. It's the Bell and Health Children and Adolescent Center.
Okay. And what's different about that in terms of the care versus, I mean, you guys do a great job. You have kids now at Bell and.
Yeah, absolutely. So we take care of kids today and adolescents today, and we do a phenomenal job of that with Bell and, but the center is going to be a little bit different. So there's going to be a lot of care inside the one single building. So today, unfortunately, parents probably travel from maybe the west side to the east side. They might have to go down to Appleton to Children's Wisconsin. So this will actually be a one-stop shop. So kids can see their pediatrician, they can see their mental health therapist, they can get therapy, they can see Children's Wisconsin, all in one single building in one location. So it's going to decrease the amount of travel that half of these families have to do every single day.
Yeah, it seems like it used to be Children's Hospital in Milwaukee, and that was it. Or maybe Madison. Madison too. Yeah, but up here?
Yeah.
I think it's great over the last 10, 15 years how much more availability there is. Because even though I had so many veterans, like World War II veterans, they were driving up to Iron Mountain, Michigan, you know, until they built the VA center here. So the medical profession has really brought their skills to the people versus years ago, the people had to used to go long ways to get their care. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And you know what? When you have to drive a long ways, then you're less likely to go get it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's much more stressful for the families and for, you know, the patients themselves.
How do I put this? You know, again, talk about how everybody's cooler that comes into the room than us, or smarter, or everything.
Taller.
Yeah. Thinner, and we can go.
Right.
But
lower BMI.
Yeah, much.
And they can see better than me.
That's the truth. But the thing is, to devote your life to helping the most vulnerable on our planet, I think is admirable. I mean, I really and truly do. I think that's amazing. Because when you're, I remember one time, and you know, not to it, but when my daughter, years and years ago down in Tucson, we were really concerned about her having a very, very serious issue. And we put our hope and faith and everything in those people's hands when we walked in that room at the University of Arizona. And I'll never forget the kindness and the compassion. And, you know, as the one bright light of the day is when you just felt confident. It's like, you know what? We're in the hands of somebody that's devoted their lives to helping somebody like this. So I just want to say that's admirable, the profession you both chose.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, when we have a building like we're building, where the specialists and the primary care pediatricians or caregivers for the pediatric patient are all under one roof, we can work together. And it just makes it so much easier for the patients. And the mental health services that we're going to have in this building, we all know mental health is a big problem. At every age. And so we're really going to ramp that up.
Awesome.
In this building. And there's so many special features that are going to be fun. And really decrease the stress for families and children. There are some really tough things that kids have to go through, and we have to do those things, but we can make them better for them and, you know, walk them through that in a much easier way.
Fantastic.
So the building, so what is that overnight? Is that, well, people, no, no, will people stay there over, is it a hospital?
Oh,
oh, I thought you meant overnight.
Like, yeah, that's
Well, no, I like I said, I go by there, as you said, I drive there every day because
on your way to work out?
I don't know way to work out, but I only work out six days a week, so I don't know what you guys do there.
On Sundays.
On Sundays. Hey, I'm just kidding. It's a couple days a week. What is all in that building? Because you, or there is being built, and I get mixed up whether it's you or the other two systems in this community, but... that surgery clinic was built where Menards used to be.
Yeah.
And like Johnny said, the VA clinic was built, and now you're building this new children's hospital. And I just, my question was, you know, do they stay there overnight or is it treatment for the day?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we have phenomenal construction people that are doing this project, but and they are not quite building it overnight, but they are moving very, very quickly, as everybody can see on the highway. So in this building will be all of just more outpatients. So nobody will spend the night here. So still, everybody will still go to our main hospital campus if they do need surgery that's an inpatient overnight stay. Otherwise, like you guys said, that surgery center, we do pediatric surgeries over there too, and they can go home the same day. But in the actual building, it will be mental health that will be outpatient therapy services. And then we'll have simple like lab x-ray. We have a really, really cool machine that's called the EOS machine that will be the first in the state of Wisconsin and or first in northeastern Wisconsin. So there's three in the state of Wisconsin right now. This will be the first up here. We can tell you a little bit more about what that is because half of the people in the Wisconsin listening area, like, I have no idea what EOS
100%
is.
100% of the people hosting this show don't know what that is.
110?
So, yeah, yeah. 110.
So I don't think Todd does either.
What is EOS?
So EOS, I was funny when I first thought about this and I was like, is it the chapstick? Like the EOS, that's EOS, EOS yep. too. So an EOS machine, it takes a 3D image of spine concerns. So any of our kiddos who have scoliosis today, if they go into any healthcare system in northeastern Wisconsin, they end up getting several different x-rays and you have to piece each x-ray together. So a child might get exposed to radiation 4 to 5 different times in one simple x-ray. And as you know, kiddos with scoliosis, they get x-rays numerous times. Yeah. Like it's not just a one and done.
I went through that with my son.
Right.
Absolutely.
So they do this and it's a 45 minute to a half an hour that it takes to take all these different x-rays. And as we know that more radiation that is also exposed to the reproductive organs could cause issues in the future. So an EOS machine literally decreases the radiation by 70% and it will make a 3D modeling of the spine within 2 minutes. So we can get kids in and out and get back to their life, back to school, back to our communities faster. And it decreases the radiation. So it'll be the first in our area.
Jim, I got to tell you this. So Dom had it, scoliosis, okay? And we take him in for the x-rays. And the doctor would say, well, as soon as he's through growing, you know, we don't have to worry too much about it anymore, all right? So I'd say, I remember one time I'm like, well, he's as tall as me, so he's probably pretty close. And the doctor laughed. He says, he's going to be eating peanuts off the top of your head. Look at this. Turned out to be 6'5".
Oh,
so yeah, we had to go.
He is eating peanuts off your head.
Exactly. So, it's just like when you have something like that, you've got to have somebody so well versed in that because that it can be such a serious thing.
Yes.
I mean, I knew kids in my era; they would operate on the and they'd be in like a body cast and all those sorts of things. So it's like the advancements for things like that are incredible, aren't they?
Yep. Prevention is better, right? And catching it early is a good thing. So there's things we can do if we can catch things early.
I just have to ask one last quick question. Mm-hmm. What are you most concerned about this day versus Jim and I who had kids and, you know, whatever? What has changed? Because you talked about the mental aspect of it for young kids that we never thought about that, did we? I mean, maybe, dad, so-and-so was mean to me at school today. And, you know, but think what happened and where are we at with that? Because I think that's a really important thing.
Well, I would say that mental health is a big concern. And it's something I deal with almost every single patient.
Really?
And I talk about with every patient to check in. And there's so many reasons. It's hard to point your finger to one thing because, I mean, if you think about your children, they and children today, they're going through so many more stressors than we did. I mean, we could play outside and not have to worry about anything. I mean, I'd leave my house, mom would say, come back at lunch and come back at dinner.
Yeah.
She would really have no idea where I was that whole time.
Did you have lunch in the summer when you were a kid? Yeah, you probably did. Your mom would make you lunch.
Yeah, she would. But
right.
Jimmy, get off the Shetland pony and come have a sandwich.
You're right. I think it's tough to be a kid. And we have grandkids. And I worry. I mean, I'm not worried about them because I think we did a pretty good job with our kids, but that's tough. I mean, I even with my previous job, we'd run into kids. It's like, wow, this is gonna be tough on you.
Well, and bullying I'm sure, and things like
and
that. Right,
and I'm sure you believe there's. Well, I guess well that bullying that maybe that my next statement isn't true, but I've always believed there weren't really any bad kids, but there's some bad parents out there that just and not intentionally they just. True. Come on, parenting is taking your kid to the park. And we have 36 parks here in Green Bay. It's like, well, why is a kid sitting home watching, playing video games, smoking weed? You know, there's other stuff we can do. Yeah. And there's a lot of free things. But when they see you, it's more serious than just sitting at home. I mean, they've got some real issues.
Yeah. Well, not all of them, right? There's a lot of teens and children that are doing amazing and have a good support system and have been taught lots of good different skills to help themselves through things. But you know, it's my job to check in and make sure that every child that I see is doing okay, right? And what can I do to help them and get through some of the things? And then, I mean, think about social media these days and the things that our kids are seeing and experiencing. I mean, everybody puts their best pictures forward or funniest pictures forward, right? They're not going to put one. I mean, my kids, they take 24 pictures and then they decide which one is the best to put out there, right?
Yeah.
You know, and some of them are putting filters on things so that it doesn't even, that's not even what they really look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that now because I just think that's one of the worst things that's happened. I wouldn't want to raise kids now because of that. But if I did have kids right now, they would not be on Facebook. I'll tell you that. I want to talk more about the physical things. Is there something different? I mean, you know, way back in the day, polio and then, you know, COVID, but is there any health things that you're seeing more of a pattern? Obesity?
Oh my goodness. I think we definitely, I don't know that we're seeing more of it, but there's, I think, more awareness on it for the obesity. We're definitely working on some projects to help our children and adolescents in that obesity space. Eating disorders, we're working with those as well. You know, all the routine child health issues that we've always seen, we're still seeing. I mean, we haven't gotten rid of.
Although we went through that era where they would try to make sure you got the chicken pox. Remember? So that, you know what I mean?
Don't do that anymore.
No,
we have a vaccine for that.
But you guys are younger than us, but you know what I mean? It used to be, well, if your sister got the chicken pox, they wanted you to hang out with her so you would
chicken
get
chicken pox parties.
Yes!
Correct.
Isn't that amazing? Can you guys stick around?
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding. Right. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Thursday morning, 61 degrees in Oshkosh, 62 in Green Bay, 64 in Appleton. Coming up down the road here at 8:06, we've got our first Packer Throwback Thursday. Rich Moran, the former Green Bay Packers offensive guard, will be joining us and our new sponsor for that program as well. And then we have Patch Race with Discover Oshkosh. But right now, we've got Jamie Hagenow, team leader in pediatrics, and then Dr. Sherry Hoyman, pediatric physician, leader with Adolescence Clinic Bellin Health, new facility on Ashland. It's always fun working at a new facility, isn't it?
I'm super excited
about
it.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. How about a construction update? You've been doing this for not that long.
No, so we officially broke ground in February.
Yeah.
Thanks the local weather people who gave us a phenomenal winter. So we actually got a lot done in that winter time. So we broke ground.
Can I just say this? Thank you for that, because this guy criticizes weather people every single day. So
not every
thank
day,
you.
But,
thank you to hear something nice for those people.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My previous job, I had to be right more than half the time, and they get away with it.
So,
anyway, go ahead. Tell us the construction.
I have to be right more than half the time, too.
You do.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we did do a lot of the construction ultimately get done in that February time period of, like, foundation got laid, and then the building has started to go up. So as you can see from the 172 in that Ashland, like, the building is fully up already. Like, that is the structure of that building at this point. So we are moving along quite nicely. We now have all of the studs in the interior of the building, so you can look where, like, actual rooms are. You can touch and feel them now at this point. The construction will continue. Obviously, we will have hopefully a roof on it before it continues to rain. Like, there's where the weather people can help us now with the rain. But we will have a roof on it hopefully here by September. And then people will see it start to close in very, very quickly. And then the building will open for the public next August of 25. So we will have a community open house probably July of
25. Wow. And, you know, as much good as you're doing and, you know, the emotional side, it is a business. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Bellin is a business. So what's the market area? And then are they going to create some jobs? Are you moving jobs? How does that affect the economics here in Green Bay?
So the providers that are going to be in this clinic are going to be some existing.
You almost said old.
I didn't. I caught myself because I'm one of those. And so one of the existing providers, and some are going to be new. We'll have some new staff, as well as some existing staff that we currently have in our Bellin pediatric spaces as well.
And then the service area, because we've been down to Madison Children's, which I think is great, more of a research place. What's the footprint? People, Brown County, Outagamie, where would people come from?
So they can pretty much come from anywhere. So we know that we have not the greatest resources for autism kids. So we know that this center will be an excellence for anybody who is on the spectrum. So we already have kiddos that travel down from Door County to get care at Bellin. And especially when they start to learn about more of the services that we have for our autistic kiddos and how we're going to help bridge them into independence and into adulthood, I think we're going to actually see that market really grow here in Green Bay. And then we also plan on seeing kiddos all the way from Iron Mountain.
I was going to say, I bet people from the UP will be coming down.
They will come down. And especially with having Children's Wisconsin this close, it's kind of your one-stop shop before they have to go down even to Appleton or Milwaukee. So really, it's not just a Brown County, Outagamie County market. Like, we probably will see kiddos from 25 different regions.
You mentioned one word that, and I'm trying to think who we had on, Jim, when they said the statistics for autism, and I couldn't believe how high it was. Is there a, I don't know, when we were kids, we'd never heard the term.
No, I think part of it's diagnosis.
Probably there. Yeah, and
I do think.
What's going on with that? With autism?
Well, I think there's a lot more awareness
of
autism and the spectrum that autism falls in. So I think these patients have been around even when we were young.
Okay.
But
just wasn't diagnosed and whatever, huh?
Right. Okay. They were maybe children that were in some special ed classes or, you know, I'm sure you can think back.
Yeah, I have no question.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it was there as well. There's a few things that were there that you guys just, there's a lot
we
more
got smarter. Research. We got smarter.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I could ask you just a question. Pediatrics, I think, is something a lot of kids in medical school would like to do, right? I mean, who doesn't love kids? Yet I have a daughter who's a doctor, and how are the parents working? Because sometimes you know, you've been in school a long, long time and do this, do that, and do they listen?
Not always. But, you know, I think the thing I love about pediatrics is that you have to have skills to be able to talk to every age of a child. And if you think about children ages 0 all the way till 21, you're going to talk to them very differently, right? I'm going to talk to a 15-year-old much more straightforward than I'm going to talk to a 3-year-old. So you have to have that kind of a skill. You have to have the knowledge of how to care for them. But then you have to also be able to translate things to the families.
Right.
And be able to, you know, kind of help them with some of the stresses. I mean, being a parent is the hardest job in the whole world, I think. It truly is. I mean, the things that especially these days, I think it's just getting harder and harder. So you have to be able to navigate all of that space.
And just to go back to one other thing we touched on a little bit before, you see, and in fact, I know of two situations where this happened. Young kids bullied online and everything, commit suicide. Young kids. I mean, one was like 11, another one was like 9 or something. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's completely horrible and wrong.
Yeah.
And we can do better.
What can we do?
We can talk.
Yeah.
We can do a lot of talking, checking in, you know, making sure that our kids are safe. Don't let them be in their room all day long and not check in on them, right? Eat dinner together. Talk about the day. You know, if your child needs help, get them some counseling. Counselors, I always tell my patients, I believe every single person needs a counselor. You need your hairdresser, you need your doctor, you need your dentist. You should have a counselor too. That's part of your team.
Great point.
And they can't, can't be, what you're saying is the stigma of counseling should be more positive. Mm-hmm. And I think there are some people who are very confident and say, look, I went and saw the counselor, man, I feel better.
You know, in the military, there used to be like a stigma if they went to the shrink, as they all called them, and it was on their records.
Right. So, yeah. Hey, you guys are, like a lot of industries, growing, and you've got some... You partnered with another health system. Will this be, what's the name of this building? It's going to be Bellin?
So, yep, the building is officially Bellin Health Children and Adolescent Center. Obviously, I think you're referring to that we became Amplify Health. Yep. So we merged with Gunderson Health and Bellin Health. We became one. And so it's Amplify Health. If I had a quarter for every time I was asked this question, I probably wouldn't have student debt. But the reason the building will still stay Bellin Health at this point is that we know that Amplify Health is not well known quite in the community yet, so we are going to keep Bellin Health maintaining. And obviously, as we transition and as we grow our market awareness, then the building will change when it's appropriate. But it will start out as Bellin Health, known and trusted in this area.
Yeah. You guys are on this show a lot, and we just talked about that. I think that name is really, explain the name again, how you, empathy, and I just think that's a very cool name for healthcare.
It's Empathy Amplified. And that's the reason that they came up with Amplify. Isn't this, it beautiful?
It is.
It's awesome.
This project speaks well to that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Right.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And again, I think you guys are providing a service that is just, you can't really put it into words when you're a parent that needs services like what you provide. And I just think this is groundbreaking for this area to have something like that. And I'm just thinking again of my friends in the UP that used to have to drive to Madison and Milwaukee. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for choosing this career.
Oh, thanks.
I mean it. That's really cool.
Thank you.
All right. We got to set a quick break. We come back. Kristen Ambos will be joining us. And again, Packer Throwback Thursday coming up at 8 o'clock with former Packer Rich Moran. Back after this.
Or WGBW or Oshkosh Air Support, and see the entire show unfold right before your eyes. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. We're excited to introduce a brand new sponsor of Mino and the Mayor, Kristen Ambos from Point Mortgage Company. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent. How are
good.
You?
Good, thank you.
You've got a lot of energy. I can see that already. Well,
yes. Always.
You pounded the monsters this morning or something? Or
no, just coffee.
We had guests in here that were drinking Monster, and John's like, did you bring one for me?
Yeah.
But no.
I'm a big fan of the Monster.
You know, you've been on here before, and everyone, I think, throughout their life deals in real estate.
Yep.
You know, and people got scared of real estate. It was like houses, the price was crazy. Are you kidding me? That house is $300,000? That thing's, you know, and then couple that with mortgage rates, it's like, I don't want to do that anymore. And Point Mortgage is your resource for different types of loan programs.
Absolutely. Like, it's not just about a 30-year fixed rate.
Not anymore, huh?
It's not anymore.
Got to be creative.
Yes. And the reality is you could talk to any loan officer. I don't care if they're at a bank, a mortgage bank, a broker, whoever they are. Everyone's got a 30-year rate. Everyone's going to proclaim to be the guru of that, whether they got in last year or 15, 20 years ago. But what it really is about is finding that partner that's going to help you set your goals for financial well-being. So that's what we are. That's what I've proclaimed to be, because I don't just ask the question of, what do you want your payment to be? It's, what do you want your payment to be? What does this look like for you in 5 years, 10 years? No one has the crystal ball of what this looks like for them, but we can set them up now to start that real estate game later on and make that financial wealth for them.
And I think that's important, especially with younger people, but even those of us who are a little bit older, you want to have a little bit of flexibility. Like, let's just say you want to pay it off early.
Yep.
You know, something happens in your life that was very positive. It's like, look, or can you refinance? And those things, because things do get better. Everybody thinks, well, worst case is, well, we're locked in for 30 years at, 5.5 or whatever they're doing. So tell us some of the things that people can do versus the, like you said, the 30-year fixed.
Right. So we have, right now there's two big things that come to mind when you say that, Mayor. It's investing properties right now. People are trying to figure out how to be an investor. And it's not just a 30-year fixed with 25% down in, you know, there's what's called debt service coverage ratio, where they don't have to qualify with their own income. They qualify with the income of the property. That's a big investor program that no one really knows about. So that's a big one. We've done a lot of that. The other one is people don't realize that whenever you refinance, you have to requalify. So maybe you requalify for that 15 year. Because when you started a couple of years ago and rates were high, you just wanted a lower payment, but now rates are coming down. You want to pay it off faster. We've got a 15-year. We've got a 20-year. We've got any year term you want.
Yeah. What are we talking about? Yeah. Didn't somebody mention like a 40-year one day we're in here?
I think that was Illinois. I don't know if that was here in Wisconsin.
Those are loan modifications.
Okay.
So loan modifications will take you to 40 years for people that are struggling to make their payment. That's why whenever you're at a closing, we always say, don't stop calling the lender if you can't make the payment. Call them because there might be an option to modify. We want you to stay in your house. The big concept is, oh my gosh, the banks just want to get rich. They want me to foreclose.
Yeah.
We don't want you to foreclose.
No.
We just want you to borrow the money and pay us back.
Right. They don't want to be in the automobile industry. They don't want to be in the real estate industry.
Absolutely
they make their money renting money.
Right.
So
exactly.
Hey, so tell me, I got to be honest with you, and I know a little bit about this. I'm not really sure I knew you existed. And where do you have bricks and mortar here? Is it online? Yeah. How do we get people that would be like, I want to sit down and talk
where
to
is she at?
Yeah, right.
So, no, funny, I do get that question a lot. So about 50% of my business comes out of the Valley. 50% of my business comes out of the Green Bay market, all the way north, covered throughout the state of Wisconsin. And then I'm also licensed in Illinois, Michigan, Florida, Arizona, California, like all the sunshine states that people go to.
Right.
Because I found that I had a lot of clients that wanted to buy investment properties in other states. So I do have a brick and mortar in both Green Bay and Appleton, but online is super easy. So if you have any online, I have an 82-year-old lady that does everything online with me. So don't think that you can't or you're not tech savvy enough. We keep it so simple, which is so nice.
Kristen Ambos,
yeah.
Point Mortgage Company, joining us. Thank you for being a new sponsor for us. Just have one favor to ask of you.
Yeah.
Please don't ever refer to him as mayor ever again.
Okay.
Jimmy, why James, not? JJ.
JJ.
I'll get a lot of different
ones. Why not? I was just at a veterans meeting. The guy's like, he called me mayor and he goes, does that bother you? I'm like, no, I worked really hard to get that title.
It's like a retired general.
And I also did it for 16 years. And I said, he said, what do most people call you? And I'm like, mayor. And because they don't know my first name.
I've just always known you as Mayor Jim.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Kristen, let me ask you.
Thank you for what you're doing.
Do people, lots of people are either thinking about, moving up, of course, in that next house. But there's that debate. Okay, this 6.9 or whatever seems scary. Let's wait it out and hope. Is that worth it? Because it could go the other way too. Things just seem so volatile in the country right now. You don't really, that's a tough game to play betting on that, isn't it?
I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
And this is why you can't bet on it.
Okay.
Last week, everything started to fall last week, right?
Right.
And I was watching my social media and I see all of these loan officers and all of these companies in the country, lower rates coming today, refi, refi, refi. Yeah, there's an opportunity there, but you know what rates did this week?
Went up.
Went up, went up, went up every day a little bit more. So you got to find a partner that you know and trust that will help you. And that know, like, and trust thing is so important because I don't want to quick refinance a client right now when they could maybe get a half a point better in 3 months.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to be stuck in 3 months thinking, oh, I just spent all these closing costs now. And now I can't get the lower rate. So it's all about having that plan of attack. And yes, you're right. But if you don't lock in, like I had a lot of guys that wanted to float last week. And now this week they're like, shoot, we should have locked because they went up.
Does anybody do adjustable arms anymore?
They do.
Remember the old balloon rates they used to call them?
Balloon rates. My very first house was a balloon.
Yeah.
And balloon comes pretty quick.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I got 3 years.
All of a sudden it's here.
You owe 100 grand. So, yeah.
And that's exactly it. You know, there's a time and a place for an adjustable rate mortgage. There always has been. I'm always tough on them. And the reason why is because exactly that. You had a lot of people doing arm rates in the last 2 years because they wanted to capture that lower rate.
Right.
They thought rates were going to go down in 12 months. We haven't seen it. And now their arms are going to be starting to come due. What if they no longer work? What if they retired and live on, I have a lot of retirees that live just like paycheck to paycheck, if you will, by design because they don't want to pull out of their investments.
Sure.
Now they might not qualify debt to income ratio. How do they get out of that adjustable rate now to refinance into something else? So they're really, you got to be really careful with them. And the unfortunate part is there's a lot of loan officers in the country that don't explain the details after the fact. And that's what's most important for people in adjustable rates to know.
Well, any rates. I think I teach a TC, and I'm surprised this isn't a business class in high school, but
it should be.
It, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Just how much interest you're paying.
Totally agree.
I don't think people really understand how much interest you're paying, and especially in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all interest.
It's all interest.
And I'm assuming you explained that to him because I remember the first time I've been teaching for a couple of years now, but I was like, you guys don't know this?
I just got a text here. Wow, she knows her bleep.
Yeah.
That's the best compliment you can get from our people.
I love it. I love it.
No, I think it's great. And I think it's great that you take the time to, and there's people, don't assume because you're a little bit older, you know.
Yes, exactly. Because the one thing is a lot of my older clients are like, I haven't done this in 30 years.
Right. And the world has changed.
The world has changed. Mortgages have changed 10 times. I've got two clients right now, and they're like, remember when you used to just do this on a handshake? Yeah. Why am I now signing 100 different documents?
Yeah.
But it's unfair, but it's fair that for whatever reason, that document is there for a reason because somebody tried to skip the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So
what advice do you give for young people that are looking for that first house? Because it's tough. You know, I dealt with a lot of, I've talked about this when I was in real estate about like a lot of young veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they would call and they'd say, hey, we're pre-approved for 160,000.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, let's look at some. I got, here's one 145. And they're like, well, no, we at least 100. And I'm like, well, the 160s are going for about 190 right now.
100%.
Hey, how do you deal with that?
So I try to help the agents that I work with have that conversation up front. So not only are the clients hearing it from the agent, they're hearing it from us too. So it's a sound team, so the client's not looking back. Yeah, yeah. Where if you're the agent and they're thinking, they just want to upsell me. That's always the immediate thought is they just want to upsell me. No, in certain, especially in that like 150 to 160 range, they're going over.
Way over.
That's just because of the supply and demand.
Yep.
It's not because the agents want to make more money. It's simply supply and demand.
Yep.
That's nice what you say about agents. I do think some of them, it's too much house.
Yes.
This should be your second house.
Right.
The first house.
Get some equity.
I don't know you all that well, but you seem like you would shoot pretty straight and say, look, I don't, it's your house, but you never know what the future holds. And if you need two incomes to pay for this house payment, if one of you goes down, so does the house.
Right.
I mean, and they have to have that conversation. And
yes.
That's just something that, I don't know, parents don't do it or their brothers and sisters don't tell them, but it sounds like you
it's the whole education piece. I want them to be completely understood of what they've done. A lot of that comes from two things. One, I actually went to college to be a teacher.
So I
enjoy the education side of it.
Right.
So that's like a funny fact.
You'd
about
be a good
me.
Teacher.
Yeah.
You'd hold their attention.
Thank you. But the
and
second,
John's got ADD, so you're absolutely. Doing
really
good.
All right, I'm sure.
Yeah, no.
But the second piece of that is when I bought my first house, I was like, okay, we got to buy a house because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
You don't want to throw your money away in rent. So many people think that way. I went into it. I got lucky. It worked for me. I bought a sound house that didn't need a new roof. At the right time. My dad really helped me negotiate that, look through it, walk through it, make sure it was good. But so many people think what they see is a really nice house and end up, I can't tell you how many calls we take within 2 weeks and there's a
chimney,
a leak in my roof. The chimney doesn't work.
The foundation is leaking. My basement is
flooded.
They got the 15 grand sitting around.
We talked to Ben and Deanna about that. A lot of times now, though, in order to get a house, you have to waive the inspection.
Right. It kills me. Because you mean to tell me, like, I understand why sellers want to do that,
right?
But you mean to tell me as a seller, you never wanted to buy a house with an inspection so you knew what you were investing in?
No.
We're not talking $100.
No.
We're talking $200, $300, $500,
$600,000. Right.
That's a huge amount of money, especially in our area. And so having those people understand that this may go wrong. Do you have a warranty? Don't you? Ben and Deanna are phenomenal for making sure people understand that. And it really is having that team of an agent who's willing to work with you as well as a lender to make sure you understand what you're getting into is huge.
So Point Mortgage, how do we contact you? I just think this is so great. Maybe next time you come on. I think people's personal goal, but I only got three kids. should be to pay off your house.
Yes.
And back in the day when I was a little kid, we would have these mortgage burning parties.
Yeah.
And you just make a copy of your mortgage, you burn it, yeah, have the neighbors over. I wanted.
I love it. I wish we'd do that again.
My wife says, oh, she goes, we can't. That's bragging. I don't think it is. But anyway.
Yeah.
I think it's an achievement.
So yes, do I.
Because it's
too
hard to do it. Even though you, oh, I could make more in the stock market. Just pay off your house. You
yes
know what I mean?
Yeah. Sleep there's a lot of different ways to go about it. You
right
know, and,
right,
and I think it matters too. If you're self-employed and you need a little bit extra in the interest and things like that, I get that game.
Sure, sure.
Or if you have a higher debt everywhere else, but if your mortgage is left and you just want to be done with bills, pay it off.
Right.
Pay it off.
Anyway, how do we get in touch with you? This is yeah great, Kristen, what you offer the community, new buyers, existing buyers.
Thank you. You can reach me at ambosteam.com. It's as simple as that. www.ambosteam.com.
I like you cut right through stuff here. There's no BS.
It's A-M-B-O-S.
A-M-B-O-S.
One bit of advice to young yeah homeowners right now, or young people hoping to become homeowners.
Yes.
Leave us with one piece of advice.
Oh, gosh. One piece of advice.
I would say see Kristen.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Okay. We'll start
I
with
like
that.
I mean, really, because you've
start
got
see Kristen
a plethora of programs. Yeah. You can say, look, and try to do this and we could qualify for that. You know, be it 20% or anyway, I think there's
exactly
a lot that people don't know about and they got busy lives. They
yeah
don't study this like you do. So
no, they don't. So working with somebody who, again, you know, like, and trust, and then really the third one is have a budget plan for you. Right. I never ask people what they want to afford. It's always, what do you want your monthly payment to be and what do you not want it to go over? Because at the end of the day, you are into that monthly payment and you don't know. We hope you can refinance. We hope things will get better. They probably will. But we want you to be able to be secure for a long time. So that monthly payment and processing that in your budget is huge.
That's great advice.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Kristen Ambose, Point Mortgage Company, a brand new sponsor of Mine on the Mirror. We're going to have fun with this segment.
I can't wait.
Outstanding.
Looking forward to it,
beautiful.
Guys.
Thanks
thank
so much
you
for being here.
You got it. Have a great day.
We got to set a quick break. Coming up soon, our first Packer Throwback Thursday with Rich Moran, former Packer offensive guard. Back after this. Hey, welcome back. Mine of the Mayor here. Kristen Ambose, Point Mortgage Company. Look her up online or give her a call. She's got some grit to her. I
oh,
like
yeah
that.
She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
And that's such an important piece of, not saying your life, but your house is probably one of the bigger investments you're going to make. You know,
I mean, it really can. It can affect your entire life if you get underwater with something like that. So great advice. We'll have her on a regular basis. Once again, we've got Rich Moran, former Packer offensive guard, coming up. I believe next week we're going to have Tony Mandrich. And we plan on doing this right through the Super Bowl when the Packers are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Have you seen, Packers are going to be, I think, is it next week or in 2 weeks? They're going to be having a joint practice with the Denver Broncos.
Oh.
Okay. Have you seen how many fights have been taking place in these training camps? It's mind-boggling. It's like, why do they even do it? Todd, have you seen some of those?
With the same players?
I haven't.
Oh, my God. Well, no, when two teams, what was one of the most recent ones? I can't even think. The Lions and somebody, was it Pittsburgh? I mean, every day there's like five or six fights. I mean, like these all-out brawls and everything.
But okay,
it's ridiculous that they do that.
I don't know. Is that a little bit of that? A little bit of showmanship
yeah
that they want to, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
and then
question.
The coach is like, I like that spunk. You're showing some effort out there, you know?
That's,
you hit that guy.
Yeah. Some coaches are like that. Otherwise, Mike Holmgren used to go insane if somebody did that. Insane. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Now that you say that, I think I did see something on these, but that's when they scrimmage another team. That's not
yes, that's
internal.
Right. No,
yeah,
not within your own.
A couple times it's happened internal.
Oh, lots of times.
Yeah.
But some coaches, like you said, like what you said, some coaches are like, hey, I like that spirit.
Right.
Shows they're, they're in. And other ones are like, don't be so stupid.
Right.
We're practicing here. We're here trying to learn and get better. Don't do that.
And it's going to get your flag anyway, right?
Exactly.
So
it's two trains of thought on that. So we'll ask Rich when he comes on. Because I'll tell you what, man, there used to be some, I remember in the day, there were some classic fights at Packer practice. I mean, I remember one in the locker room.
Really?
Oh, well, I'll talk to Rich about that. I bet he. I was standing right there when two huge guys got into it in the locker room, and I mean, we're wrestling on the floor.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what? Nobody broke it up. It's like not it's really. High school they, playground.
Yeah.
Cheering.
Wow. I mean, two big Packer players wrestling each other in the locker room on the floor. Okay. Yeah. It was crazy those days. We'll talk with Rich about that in just a few minutes. So, and our new special, we got another, today's a big day. We've got two brand new sponsors, Point Mortgage Company, and the next one's going to be a little bit of a surprise for Rich because it was a friend of his that we hooked this up. So, and then later on today, we got Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh. I got to talk about something. I got to get rid of two cars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got this car that was my son's that had been mine for years and years and years. And it was actually, I don't understand it.
We're salvage auto, Todd. How do you
salvage a car these days?
I'm just kidding.
No, my that's what it's basically.
It's really junk?
Yeah.
Well, just sell it. The thing is,
we just put a brand new battery in it too.
Well, okay.
Just like a month ago. It's like $100.
Is it?
Yeah, brand new. I mean, you hate to just throw that in the whatever.
Out.
Yeah, I know.
I would sell it. Just some guy's gonna for parts put it on. I told you I'm kind of getting a little bit into that marketplace or whatever it's called. I mean, right. I can't stand Facebook.
I don't know if we can sell it though because the DNR or DNR, where you go get your
DMV
license, DMV, said it was salvaged. It's salvageable. It's a weird thing, but then also my car. I'm taking over Julie's Kia. Okay. And, you know, my car that I damaged here when I hit the pillar,
the window doesn't work.
The window doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It makes such a noise when you're driving that I got to turn my radio up almost full blown to even hear the radio. I don't know what that is, and I've never taken it in. I just don't want to put any more money into it. It's got $215,000. It's a Mazda SUV. But what I'm saying is, in both cases, because Dom bought a new car, it's the parking. You know, back in the day, we would have parked alongside in the UP alongside the driveway and or in the backyard and let it sit there for about 6 years.
No can do. Yep.
So we got to get rid of both of them. I need some advice from people what to do with these two cars.
Are they drivable?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I drive mine all over. I mean, I drive it to the UP, drive it to...
You don't need a car?
Pardon?
You don't need...
I'm getting the Kia. I'm getting the Kia.
No, just... You know, sometimes there's those ads where it's like, you know, push it in, tow it in.
Right,
we don't care,
for
we'll
$5,000 off. Right. Yeah, I just heard one of those yesterday.
Oh.
Aptonado.
Okay.
Push frontal drive. You give me $5,000.
But you don't need a car. That doesn't interest you because you don't. Your family set.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Your family set. Your kids set. Your daughter's set. You are. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, then that's not an option.
I mean, I'll sell it if somebody wants to buy it. Got this. Donate to Rawhide.
Right. That's
cool.
Can
always do that.
That is great. Great organization.
Sometimes they turn them down though.
Really?
Yeah. If they're too far gone, they turn them down.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I donated my old that I told you that car I bought from Lynn Dickey time.
Yeah.
When the engine blew about a month after I bought it, and his response was, I glad I got rid of that one I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody help me out. What should I do with these two cars I have to get rid of?
Yeah.
All right.
And you just want to get rid of them. You don't really care about the money.
A few bucks even. Well, I think you normally can get like $200 for salvage.
Well, your car's worth more than $200.
Well, I know it is, but I'm not sure. I don't want to go through the whole, somebody's going to come and look at it and this and that. And, you know, because actually I sold a car, one of my cars a couple of years ago for $1,500.
Yeah. Well,
and the lady came, you know, gave me the $1,500, drove it home and had a guy look at it. And he says, this isn't drivable. The transmission is bad. The so-and-so would be like $3,000 to put into it to make it safe. So I had to give her the money back.
Oh, I thought you'd pull the buyer beware thing.
No, I gave her the money back.
Oh,
and and then I called a salvage place. And I want to say they gave $200 or something like that. I know. But I gave her $1,500 back. So I don't want to get involved with that. I don't want to have to show it to people. I don't want to do those things.
Right.
But let me ask you this then. You're big into the marketplace thing. What if we put it in your driveway and you show it to people?
That's not going in my driveway.
Okay. I was just asking.
Won't happen.
Since you're big into that.
The marketplace, I've
you're going to sell that big hutch for me, aren't you?
I had this, a daughter that it came home, so we got her a full-size bed for her bedroom and just like brand new. Then she went on to grad school. I just want to tell you that somebody on the front car.
Oh, we got a car. Okay. Hang on. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John, John, hey, this is your buddy Jesse in Appleton.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Hey, about your cars.
Yes.
I know WIR, Wisconsin International Raceway, is looking for running junk cars for the annual Eve of Destruction coming up, and then Danny's paying $400 a car.
Oh, there you go.
Serious?
That is a great, great idea.
Oh, my
idea.
God. I will right. do that in a heartbeat.
That's double what Johnny was looking for.
In a heartbeat.
So if your number's the same, John, I'll text you.
It's the same number. That's fantastic. Thank you so much.
See? That easy.
All right, buddy.
Awesome. Right. Thank you. I love WIR.
All right.
I love that.
And you made $200 more than you
yes.
wanted.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
So, Todd, that's 100 for you and 100 for me. All right.
When we come back, Packer Throwback Thursday. Stay with us.